Well, we're celebrating Father's Day today. We're going to be talking about the armor of God and how fathers need to put on the armor of God. You know, fathers are great, aren't they? You know, after tucking his three-year-old Sammy in for bed one night, his dad heard sobbing come from his room. And rushing back in, he found him crying hysterically. He managed to tell him that he had swallowed a penny and that he was sure he was going to die. No amount of talking was helping. His father, in an attempt to calm him down, palmed a penny and then reached behind his ear and pretended as if he had gotten the penny from behind his ear. Sammy was delighted and amazed, and in a flash, he snatched the penny out of his father's hand and swallowed it, and then cheerfully said, "Dad, do it again." 2 pennies to worry about. Dads are great, ain't they? Today we celebrate Father's Day, and we as dads know, we know that our kids don't look forward to this day as much as they do Mother's Day. But it's better than going to the dentist, isn't it? Amen. We'll take that. We'll take that. Open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to be talking about the armor of God. We're not going to be talking about all the armor of God. We're leaving 2 pieces out, which would be prayer and the sword of the Spirit. They're offensive. We're going to be talking about the defensive armor that every father needs to put on. This is for everyone, by the way, but it's Father's Day, and I'm just had a burden to talk to the dads today. Ephesians chapter 6, and in verse 10, the Bible says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I might open my mouth boldly, to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Let's pray. Father, thank you. This passage of Scripture, and I pray, Lord, you might, by your Holy Spirit, teach us today, impart these truths into our heart, for without you we can do nothing. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to preach a message called Our Protection for the Home. Our Protection for the Home. Fathers dressed for the battle. Amen. Fathers dressed for the battle. And, you know, our children really are looking for a leader. They're looking for somebody that they can follow. And there will follow somebody. They will find somebody to follow. Why not be dad? Why not be the father in the home? That should be the one that the child's looking to for direction and guidance and protection. Fathers, are you ready to fight? Are you ready to put on the armor of God and stand in your home as a protection against the devil? You are the front line of protection in your home. You are the front line of protection. Not mom. You. The father is the front line of protection. And you're going to have to stand up and you're going to have to put on the armor and fight. Psalm 78:9 says, "The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle." Turned back. Hightailed it out of there. They had weapons and they refused to fight. God's given us armor to put on. And dads, we need to put the armor on because there's a battle against our home. Father is the priest and the prophet, and the protector of his home. As the priest, dad should be praying effectually and fervently for his family. James chapter 5 tells us that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. If Elias can pray for it to rain and it rains, and he can pray for it to stop raining and it stops raining, why can't we have the same power with God that Elijah had? We can. And we can pray this way effectually and fervently for our home and for our children. You're the priest in the home. And you're also the prophet. It is dad that should be teaching the Word of God to to his wife and to his children, at the very least, making sure they're having the devotions, they're praying, and they're studying their Bibles. And the father is the protector of the home. It's dad who should be guarding who or what enters the home. And I'm not just talking about physically. I'm talking about spiritually, through the television, through the computer, through magazines, through the videos. All should be monitored by dad. What does that mean? Dad better be living a holy life. Dad better be ready to check those things right at the door and say, that's not coming into our home. That needs to get out of our home. Dad should be walking with God. Turn to Psalm 101. Psalm 101. In verse 2, the psalmist says, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Dad's got to make a choice to make sure that his home is guided by the principles of the Bible. Let your family see a man, a father who's walking in righteousness. Maybe your dad's not saved. Maybe you need to pray for him to get saved. The goal should always be to do what is right, fathers. The Bible says, I will behave myself wisely. That means I'm going to consider my actions before my children. I'm going to consider my attitudes before my children. Believe me, this is very convicting, isn't it? Because we're the center of attention in our home. At least we should be. I have to consider what the little eyes are watching and what little ears are listening to. We have to take great care that we're walking with God. Fathers have to put on the armor of God in these days, and they need to fight for their families. Fathers can't compromise the truths that are laid squarely out in your Bibles right there on your laps. All the principles of God and the commands of God are right there in that Bible. What's it going to be? Is it going to be the armor of God or pajamas? We have a little joke we have. Is it going to be the armor of God or pajamas? Is it going to be a sword or slippers? Huh? Is there going to be patches on the seat of your pants or patches on the knees? Because you've been on your knees praying and asking God to do something in your family. We can be bulletproof. I heard a man once preach a message, bulletproof. Now, these aren't physical bullets. Don't you stand in front of the gun. Of course, you may want to give your life for somebody, but I'm talking about spiritual bullets. Look back again at Ephesians chapter 6. Spiritual bullets. Go back to Ephesians chapter 6. You see verse 11? Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The wiles of the devil. The devil is looking to take you and hurt your family. And he's looking for a chink in your armor, something you didn't put on this morning. That's why the Bible says put on the whole armor of God. The devil is using methods and ways and wiles and craftiness and deception to get into your family. And the father is the front line. He's the one that should be standing at the door, not only physically, but spiritually. That's why verse 10 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We do wrestle, though. It says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. But we are wrestling. It is a struggle. We are striving and contending against evil forces. The battle's real. And it demands our attention. It demands our awareness as dads about what's going on in our home. Not against flesh and blood. It's a spiritual battle. It's against the devil's devices, the wiles of the devil. It's against principalities, powers, and rulers. It's against the highest dominions of spiritual wickedness that you couldn't even think about. They're here. They're all over. We can't see them, but they're out there. And they reach into the highest levels of government and into the education system, and they reach into Hollywood, and they reach into the music, and they reach everywhere, trying to get our children, trying to get our eyes off of God. And dads are going to have to be strong, because we wrestle against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Oh, that God would open our eyes and we saw all the demons in this room right now. that God's holding back, that He would build a hedge around our families and keep those that wickedness out of our homes. But we do need to do something about it. Colossians 2:8. You can turn there if you want. Colossians, just to the right a little bit. Colossians 2:8. Beware. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Beware lest any man spoil you, try to seduce you and lead you away and your children away. You think there's not people out there that want to draw your children away? They're out there. By their own beliefs and ideas and teachings and the values of the world. And Psalm 1:1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of what? The ungodly. That's right. Vain deceit, dishonesty, deception, and liars. They're all out there. They all want to get into your family. And they want to destroy your family and your children. And dad, you're going to have to put on the armor. According to the tradition of men, we need the Bible. We need God's way of salvation. We don't need religion. We need God's way of salvation. Not the worldly customs and habits and the rituals that are out there. We just need salvation, full and free, at the cross of Jesus Christ. If you want to be saved today, you just need to come to the cross. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You want to know about the love of God? Come to the cross. That's where God loved the world, right there at the cross. He didn't love through a church. He loved at the cross. He didn't love through a ritual. He didn't love through baptism. He gave His Son at the cross. And that's where you need to go. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We need the truth of God's Word. We need His ways and we need His commands. This is not a book of advice or better ways. This is a book of commands. It's a book of God's ways. The battle's fought with and won with truth. So every piece of this armor has to do with truth. And this goes for all of us. We all need to put on every piece of armor. And the first one is the belt of truth. In verse 14 in Ephesians 6, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth. This is to know the truth. We ought to know the truth. They would take that belt, the soldier, and put that belt on to guard their loins and to hold their tunic together. Well, men, we need to put on the belt of truth. And the best way to take a stand and establish our Christian homes today is on the truth of God's Word. John 17:17, Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So this Bible has to be preeminent in the home. Aren't you glad that you're saved? And you can train your children up in the ways of God. I was as lost as you could be when my children were growing up. I didn't have that opportunity. If you have that opportunity today, don't squander it. Don't waste it away. Spend every waking moment seeing how you can raise your children up in the ways of God. We need to have the truth, and we have it. The fathers have to be properly armed with the truth. Look in Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. The belt of truth. Proverbs chapter 3 and in verse 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck and write them upon the table of thine heart. You know, if you just look at verse, verse 22. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace unto thy neck. You keep mercy and truth down in your soul, and it'll be life unto your soul, and it'll just come out, and it'll be grace, like a big chain around your neck of grace, so that the world can see what's taking place inside comes outside. And the world can see that you have the truth, and you have mercy in your heart towards others, but you have the truth. Fathers have got to have the truth. They need to be armed with the truth. And we have the Bible. We have the truth of God. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So fathers have got to be Bible students. They have to receive the truth. We have to be Bible students. We have to be studying our Bibles. because we need to put on the belt of truth to guard our homes with truth. It's dad that has that responsibility. Not that mom doesn't have a responsibility also, but dads are the ones that are accountable for the home. The Bible says to study. It takes diligence and labor and work and an effort to know the truth. But God will give you truth if you seek for it with all your heart. He'll show you Himself to you. I had a person ask me, a new Christian, ask me, what should I read in the Bible? I started in Genesis and then I went over to here and it didn't make any sense and I wasn't getting what I'm getting all mixed up. I said, well, you know what? Read a proverb every day. If it's today's the 21st, you should have read the 21st proverb today. Maybe read a psalm. Maybe read something in the New Testament out of the Gospel of John. That'd be good reading. And he asked me back. He said, you mean the whole proverb? I said, yeah, the whole proverb. It's going to take you about 50 seconds to read the whole proverb. But you're going to get so much out of it. And I'm not talking about just reading. I'm talking about studying the Word of God. Fathers ought to be studying the Word of God. 5 minutes isn't going to get it. It's not going to get it. We need to study to show thyself approved, acceptable to God. 2 Corinthians 10:18. The Bible says, for not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. You see, we're going to have to show thyself approved unto who? God. God. I'm not trying to commend myself to Tony or Jim. I'm trying to commend myself to God that I've been a workman, Lord. I'm taking the truth of God's Word, trying to apply it in my home. God's the one I want to be commended by. So we need to be workers. A workman means to toil. You know, in 1 Timothy 5:18, it says, muzzle not the ox while he treadeth out the grain. Preachers referred to as an ox. And they got it right, don't they? God's got it right. The preacher's referred to as an ox, something that toils and works and strives. And you have a pastor that toils and strives and works and labors. He's an ox. Well, shouldn't a father be nonetheless an ox in the home? Willing to strive and contend for the faith and labor and work and do everything that he can do to keep the home pure. A workman. We're workmen. That needeth not to be ashamed. 1 John 2:28 says, there's a possibility, little children, that if he was to come right now, you might be ashamed. I don't want to be ashamed of his appearing. And I know you don't either. But we can be ashamed. We won't lose our salvation. That's something we can't lose because we didn't earn it. But we can lose all those good works. If we're not doing what's right, we could be ashamed at his appearing. And we need to rightly divide the word of truth. You ought to write down 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 through 16. I'll tell you, and you ought to read that, and you ought to think about, now that you're saved, you're spiritual, and you have a spiritual book, and you have a Holy Spirit that wants to teach you the things of God so that you can judge spiritual things with spiritual things. You can have discernment now. As a Christian, I can have discernment. I can say, that's wrong, that's right. How do I know that? According to the Word of God. Before, I was a natural man. I did not receive the things of the Spirit. But now, as a spiritual man, I can. You say, well, you've been saved longer. The moment you got saved, you became spiritual. The Holy Spirit came to live in you. So you're spiritual. You're a spiritual person. Live like it. Look in Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13. Fathers not only have to be Bible students, that means receive the truth. In Proverbs 13 and verse 1, a wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. That means that fathers have got to be Bible teachers. They got to teach the truth. You have to learn it, receive the truth, and then you have to teach the truth. You see, we're putting on the belt of truth. And if your son hears it, it's good. He's getting instruction from his father. He'll be a wise son. But if he scorns it, he heareth not rebuke. But a scorner heareth not rebuke. And he's going to smart for it too. But a father's got to be a Bible teacher. Turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. You see what it says in verse 5? Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Fathers, the Word of God should be in our heart, and we should love God with all of our heart, and all of our soul, and mind, and strength. If we love the Lord that way, we would keep His words in our hearts, and we'll know God and what God has said, and we'll know our Bibles. Why is all that necessary? Because verse 7 says, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy way, in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." That means you're going to be teaching your children all the day long, in every situation, in the house, along the way, when they get up, when they go to bed. You can teach your children the Word of God. Teach them principles out of the Word of God all day. And you know what that means? You're going to have to spend some time with them. Children want nothing more than dad to spend some time with them. Spend some time with them. We all may have a story about... I remember when I started playing Little League Baseball. My dad was an alcoholic. And he never spent any time with me playing baseball. I'd go to the field. All the other dads were there. My dad wasn't there. But he did send me one time to the field with a glove that he had bought. My dad loved baseball. Loved it. But he was a drunk. But I got that glove, and I found, when he gave me the glove that day, it had a ball in it, it was tied, and it was oiled. He had taken the time to do that. He doesn't know what that meant to me. My brother's the one that took me to the game. But I wanted my dad to be there. I was a terrible third baseman, by the way. But I still wanted dad to see the ones that went through my legs, you know. But he wasn't there. Spend time with your kids. They're gone before you know it. They grow up so fast, don't they? Listen, spend time with them. And Hebrews chapter 5. Turn to Hebrews chapter 5. Look at verse 11. Hebrews 5:11 says, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when, for the time, ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Let it not be said, Dad, that you're dull of hearing, that you're not being taught the Word of God, and you're not teaching yourself and studying. We should be teaching others, especially our children. We should be maturing and becoming full age in the Bible and eating the strong meat of the Word of God every day so that we can give our children the milk that they need. But you need to be exercising. And it means to be training. You don't get big muscles like John by not training, by working out. Amen? But I want to ask you a question. Who's doing more of the teaching? The Sunday school? The preacher? Or you? Or mom? The belt of truth. Dads need to put on the belt of truth. They need the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness. In verse 14, we find that in Ephesians 6. "Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." This means to live the truth. Not only to know the truth, but to live the truth. We're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he became sin who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." That means positionally, I am in Christ. And if you're saved here today, positionally you're in Christ. You are righteous. Because he's righteous. You're clothed in his righteousness. That is our position as children of God. And we need to live every day in that righteousness. But Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep your hearts with all diligence." And that's where the breastplate of righteousness goes, over our heart. It guards our heart. Living right. Doing right. Keep your hearts with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. Right? Every decision we make comes out of our heart. You ought to guard your hearts with holiness and an upright character. We ought to be righteous. We're clothed in the righteousness of Christ, but we ought to be righteous. Look at Proverbs 21:21. Hey, I'm glad God tells us all these things in His book. We have a lot of work to do, dads. We got a lot of work to do. But isn't it worth it? Man, the world's out there trying to get in the front door of our home, one way or the other, trying to snatch your kids. Man, there's some wicked stuff going on out there. Proverbs 21:21 says, "He that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness, and honor." He that followeth after. Fathers ought to be pursuing after righteousness. And by the way, we all ought to be pursuing after righteousness. I'm speaking specifically to fathers, but every one of us in here needs to pursue righteousness. It ought to be something that we're going after to be holy. What does Matthew 6:33 say? "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. But seek ye first His kingdom and His righteousness." Amen? We have to pursue after it. Fathers must be the primary example of righteousness. You're in Proverbs. Just turn to chapter 20. Look in verse 7. Proverbs 20, verse 7. It says, "The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him." Wow. The just man walketh in his integrity, in his righteousness. His children are blessed after him. Blessed children come from a blessed home life. A blessed home life comes from a father walking in his integrity in the home. You're the front line. Your kids are watching you. We can find it easy to walk well at church, but at home we find it easy to sin. If we could let our children speak openly, what would they say of us? If they were just allowed to say anything they wanted about mom and dad, what do our children hear from us? Do they hear anger? Do they hear any cursing? Or do they hear silence that you're not even there? What do they hear from you? What do your children hear and see from you? What they're watching, do they see love and compassion in their dad? Do they see a caring attitude and a loving heart in their father? They're watching. A little boy at a church service, after the church service, a little boy went up to the pastor and told him when he grew up, he was going to give him money. "Well, thank you," the pastor said. "Now, why is that?" "Because my daddy said, you're the poorest preacher we ever had." Be careful of those little ears in the back seat when you're going home and you're having fried pastor. You know, you're cooking them good, you know. And the little ears are back there listening to every word. And then you have the pastor over for a fellowship and all of a sudden he starts talking. And starts saying everything that you said about the pastor. Hey, be careful. Be careful. Blessed are those homes where the fathers hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, fathers, because the Bible says you'll be filled. Jesus said, you'll be filled. You seek after it, you hunger for it, and thirst after it, I'll fill you with righteousness. Next thing is the preparation of the gospel of peace. In verse 15 of our text, "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." Now you got to put something on your feet. What is it? It's the gospel of peace. They got a film out called Happy Feet or something, don't they? Penguins. Well, we ought to have happy feet. Everywhere we go, just telling people about Jesus Christ. Have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That means a readiness to preach the gospel. To preach the truth. Everybody in here can preach the truth. Proclaim the truth to others. I want to ask you, have you ever once put on the gospel sandals? Ever once? Have you ever put them on? Have you been ready to go and preach the gospel? How about mom and dad, and if possible, a child knocking on doors together? Can you imagine that? Mom and dad going to the door, and maybe even having a child with them at the door, going out knocking. Is that impossible? Is that impossible? I don't think so. I think the gospel is supposed to go out to the whole world, and I think every Christian should be taking it out to the whole world. Christian soldiers need to be prepared to go. Their feet should be shod. Christian fathers should be examples of one ready to proclaim the gospel. Look at Romans 10:15. Romans 10:15. They have happy feet. But we have beautiful feet. Romans 10:15. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And that comes from Isaiah 52:7. Says the same thing. The gospel of peace is preached by what? These beautiful feet bring that. We have beautiful feet. I do not have beautiful feet. But when I put on my gospel sandals, God says my feet are beautiful. Because I'm taking the gospel of peace out to a turmoil, a world full of turmoil and trouble and hurt. And they need it. All of us should have beautiful feet. We can take the gospel of peace. Romans 5:1 says we can have peace with God. When we got saved, we had peace with God. I'm not the enemy of God anymore. I have peace with God. I'm reconciled through His Son, the death of His Son. I have peace with God. But you can have the peace of God. Look at John chapter 14. You know, some of us here today might not have peace in our heart. You know why? You haven't put on the gospel sandals. You've been disobedient to God. You say, that's a sin? Absolutely. Since when can we take one of the commands of God and say, I'm not going to obey that one? We're supposed to have our gospel sandals on. It's a command to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And John 14 and verse 27 says, it says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Look at chapter 16, verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. That's a fact. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I can have peace in my heart. And I can take that peace out to a world that is hurting. And they can have peace. The gospel brings peace to turmoil, to troubled lives. The Bible says in Mark 16:15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Is that just for men between the ages of 25 and 50 on Saturdays from 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock? I don't think so. Sometimes it seems that way. We should be soul winners every day. A lot of surveys have been taken around the world that indicate that 98% of Christians do not regularly introduce others to the Savior. Wow. 98% of Christians do not introduce people to the Savior. Take your kids soul winning with you. What's that mean? It means you're going to have to put on the armor. You're going to have a readiness to tell people the truth of the gospel of peace. Put on your sandals. That's what the Bible says. The other part that we're going to put on is the shield of faith in verse 16. The shield of faith. Above all, taking the shield of faith. You've got to have this big shield in front of even all the other armor. You're going to have to trust God. This means believing the truth. Not just knowing the truth, preaching the truth, and living the truth. Now we're going to believe what we're preaching. Amen. We're going to believe it. We're going to trust it. We're going to trust in the truth. We're going to have a shield of faith. We have to defend ourselves and our family with the shield of faith. We must be men of faith. Men of faith. Jude 3 says we ought to contend for the faith. Diligently. Contending for the faith. That just gets me going, you know. Just stirs me up. Our faith must grow. Look in Romans chapter 5. I'm at Romans chapter 1. I want to be challenged by the Word of God. I know there's areas of my life that I need to work on. And I want to exercise faith and I want to become a better dad, even though my children are 3,600 miles away. They're still my children. Romans chapter 1, verse 5 says, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith. Romans 1, 5, to the faith among all nations for His name. Look in verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Can you imagine? Their faith was spoken of throughout the whole world, Paul said of the church in Rome. The faith is the unchangingness of God. It is the Bible. God never changes. The Word of God never changes. Jesus Christ will never change. That's the faith. Our faith should be in the faith, you see. Our faith fluctuates. Our faith is like John's muscles. Sometimes they're big, sometimes they're small. Right? Sometimes he lifts big weights and they get big, and sometimes they're little droopy muscles because he hasn't lifted any weights. But it's exercising your faith, trusting God, taking a step of faith once in a while, and just trusting God. Because you're putting your faith in the faith. He'll never let you down. You see? We need to have faith. Look, the devil's going to try to fire his darts. Because he's going to fire his darts, we're going to have to hold up the shield of faith. And he's going to try to tempt your children to try that cesspool of sin that's out there. He's going to try to get them to look away from the home and the family and the father and look out there for enjoyment and sin out there in the world. You've got to stand before them in faith. You're the front line. Dad, Tony, why don't you come on up here and stand right here. Bring your Bible. Stand right here. Dina, come on up. Now face me. Dina, you get right behind him. I don't even want to see you. I just want to see Tony. John and Gina. This is the whole family here. And Tony's got his shield of faith, right? There it is. The Word of God. And then the devil comes along and he tries to get Tony, you see. And I got a dart here. And I'm going to try to get Tony with that Bible really isn't God's Word. And I try to throw that dart and tempt Tony and try to break his faith. And Tony just stays firm in the Word of God. He's got to trust in God's Word. God doesn't love you, Tony. Boom, there comes another dart. God, he says, I know God loves me. God loved the world. He loved me at the cross. I know God loves me. Then I try to come to the side here. When I come to the side, y'all just, Tony, you got to face me. I'm the devil. That's it. Stay in line. Because I'm trying to get Dina, you see. Dina, don't you. Dina, don't you submit to him. I can't get to her. Why? Because she's staying behind her husband. And he's the man of faith in the home. So I'm going to try to get Gina. Gina, just find any man you want out there. He's for you. Any man. John, any woman will do, John. And they got to... John just took a dart right here. But that's all right. We'll bandage him up. He'll be fine. But you know what? The family has got to stay in line with Dad. He's got to be a man of faith. This is the front line. If I can't get through Tony, I can't get to his wife. She's in submission to her husband. And the children are obeying their parents. Thanks. Isn't that just what it's all about, though? Tony just keeps moving and he's watching. And I can't get to anybody because they're in line, you know? They're behind the father in the home. The shield of faith. Fathers have got to be Bible believers and stand on the promises of God. Hebrews 11:6 tells us that without faith it's impossible to please God. We have to have faith. God our Father has made all things depend on faith, so that whoever has faith will have everything. And whoever does not have faith will have nothing, Martin Luther said. You have faith, you have everything. You have no faith, you have nothing. Isn't that true? The Father and the family that has faith has everything. Has everything. Above all, take this shield of faith. This is saying don't forget such an important piece of the armor, of trusting God. This is important. Hold it up. Take up faith. Hold forth faith. Trust God. Believe God. Hold up the shield in your home. This protection for your family from the devil's darts of sin and doubt and temptation. Let me tell you a couple things here. Faith is not you holding on to God, but believing God is holding on to you. I just know He's there. He's holding on to me. Faith is believing in the unseen, but not the unknown. Tony knows his God because of the Bible. Dennis, you know your God because of the Bible. So he's unseen, but he's not unknown. I know who he is. I know him personally. Fathers, let your family see your faith. Let them see you trust God every day. And finally, we have to look at the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation in verse 17, in Romans 6:17, it says, and take the helmet of salvation. This means to guard your mind with the truth. Now we need to guard our minds. This is just simply full assurance of salvation. We know the verses in the Bible that tell us, I know that I have eternal life. I know that I have eternal life. The devil tries to make me doubt, but I know that I have eternal life. And I hold up this word and I say, I have a sure hope. 1 Thessalonians 5, 8-9 says, I have a sure hope. Put on the breastplate, he says, of love and the helmet of salvation. We know that we're saved. Knowing we're saved and have the victory will help us fight the good fight. Don't let the devil put doubts in your mind. If you're saved here today, that you're not saved. If you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then tell the devil to take a walk. He's a liar and a deceiver. If you're saved, take a walk. I know I'm saved. You see? Fathers need to tell their children of God's wondrous works. Turn to Proverbs chapter 4. I'm going to wind this up here in just a couple of minutes. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. They're all in Proverbs. I'm just going to read them off to you. Fathers, tell your children of God's wondrous works. Proverbs 4:1, hear ye children the instruction of a father and attend to no understanding. Proverbs 5, verse 7. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Fathers, tell your children of God's wondrous works. Chapter 7, verse 24. The Bible says, hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Fathers, tell your children of God's wondrous works. Chapter 8, verse 32 says, now therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Talking about wisdom. And if anybody should have wisdom in the home, it's the father. Daddy ought to be a man of wisdom because he knows his Bible. And the children ought to be will be blessed after him if they hearken unto their dad and listen to him. Fathers, tell your children of God's wondrous works. Ephesians 6:4 says that fathers are not to provoke their children unto wrath, but to bring them up in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord. Look, fathers, don't be too severe or unreasonable in your demands upon your children so as to provoke them to anger. Make your yes a yes and your no a no. Be consistent, but don't put unreasonable demands on them. Don't provoke them to anger. Let them know that when you chasten them, you're chastening them out of love. I'm going to raise my hand. I've chastened out of anger before. I did it for my benefit. My Heavenly Father doesn't do that. He does it to bring about the peaceable fruits of righteousness in our lives. Oh, dads, be careful when you're chasing your son that you do it out of love. Do it out of love. Don't provoke them to anger. And train them in the correction and discipline of the Lord, in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Give them a taste for the things of God. Warn them of God's commands and principles for life. You ought to write down Psalm 107 and read the whole Psalm. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His wonderful works. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His wonderful works. The children of men. Over and over and over. I think it says it 6 times in the Psalm. Oh, that men would praise. The children of men would praise the Lord for His wonderful works. But look what happens when we don't. Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 2. That's the positive. Here's the negative. In Judges chapter 2 and in verse 7, Joshua was getting ready to leave the scene here. It says, and the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. Judges chapter 2, verse 8. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance, in Timnath-Heres, in the mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill of Gash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. Wow. 3 generations. It's gone. Within 3 generations, they knew not God. Joshua knew the Lord, and he spoke of these wonderful works to his generation. But the next generation did not do as Joshua did. They didn't convey the information onto their children. They didn't tell of the wondrous works of God. It's like a grandfather telling his son the wonderful truths and works of God. And that the father never telling his son. Within 3 generations, they don't even know who God is. You see how fast it can happen? It's up to the fathers to convey the wonderful works of God. What's the outcome of this? Verse 11. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. If we don't tell our children about God, they'll find a God to worship. It'll be a God out there in the world. And they'll provoke God to anger. Our children are looking for something that's real. We need to make God real in their lives. I know that is not what you want for your children. Let's be diligent and put on the helmet of salvation, the full assurance of our salvation, the truth of it, and how good God is, and tell our children so that they know. Let's lead our children, fathers. Keep them from serving other gods. Remember every day that you're saved. And tell your children just how good God is. Ephesians 6:10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Put on the belt of truth." You better know the truth. "Put on the breastplate of righteousness." You need to live the truth. "Put on the preparation of the gospel of peace." Preach the truth. "And the shield of faith." Trust and believe the truth. And then put on the helmet of salvation. And guard your mind with the truth. Christian fathers, dress for battle. Now that can stop any of the wiles of the devil if we just get Christian fathers to put on the armor. Amen? Children's children, Proverbs 17:6 says, "Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers." Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, for your goodness toward us. I want to praise you, Father, for these lessons we've learned today. And Father, I just want to thank you for forgiving me for all the failures in my life. And I want to thank you for showing me the right way. And even today, when I do wrong things, Lord, you humble me and I can get right with you. And Father, I can try to speak a word of goodness to my family and my wife and children. God help me. I know fathers out there, they need help, and but we need to stand up and be fathers, be the right kind of fathers, be godly fathers. And I just want to ask you, Father, to just put a blessing on us today. Show us the right way, Lord. Look, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want to ask you, fathers, if you're serious, with God. You want to be serious with God. And by standing, you say, "I want to be the best dad. I want to be a godly dad. I want to be a loving father." And you say that by standing up. "I want to get serious with God." Just stand up, keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. You say, "I want to be a godly dad. I want to be the best father that I can be to my children." You men have stood. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for myself. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for these dads. They're doing business with you, not me. We're all looking to you, Lord. We want to raise our children up to know God. And Father, we're asking for you to help us. Father, that we would just humble ourselves before you, Lord, and that our relationship with you would be the most important thing in our lives. God, help us to be godly dads. Help us to teach our children. And even if they're out of the home, Father, to extend to them the wisdom that you've given to us. Father, help us to stand up and be holy men of God. And Father, if there's one here that's not saved today, I pray, Father, you'd just give them light. And Father, that they wouldn't leave here without wanting to know you as their personal Savior. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for what you're going to do. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.